WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hardy.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Yeah, I get it, you're an outcast. Always under attack, always coming in last. Bring it up the bass. No one owes you anything, I think. You need a shotgun blast, a kick in the ass. So paranoid.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. I am your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. We're streaming live on twitch.tv/WTRLive. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. You can join us at twitch.tv/WTRLive or garwick.net, wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com to join in on the conversation that we got going on tonight.
Well, that's right. We got a pretty stacked show tonight. We're going to be talking Mixed Match Challenge, TLC, a little bit of news, a little bit of notes, NXT, SmackDown, and, well, we have to talk about it because some pretty big things dropped in Fortnite this week. And no, we're not talking about Season 7. We talked about that last week, but they introduced something in Week 2 that is pretty damn spectacular and has caused quite a bit of controversy in the game, so we do want to talk about it. So we'll be getting to that here in a little bit. But first we need to jump right into the news, which thankfully we don't have a lot this week. Thanks to the fine folks over at FightBooth.com and Gerwick.net. And you know what? We're going to do the Blame Brent first.
Might as well get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
You know, he is not nice to his wifeys at all.
No, he has his favorites, and, well, one by one, picking them off.
I was going to say Becky Lynch, Tegan Knox, and now Dakota Kai, who is out, sadly, with a knee injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
No word on the extent. There's talk that it could be a torn ACL.
Mm.
Just when she's getting her big push on television, that this is not the exact right time to go down with a knee injury. It was suffered at a live event about a week ago.
That seems like that's happening a lot. Like, it's now is not the time to get hurt, and everybody seems to be getting hurt.
It is the season.
For injuries?
For injuries. And apparently it's a season for mysterious cold.
Yeah, Alexa Bliss is suffering apparently from a really, really bad cold, so hope she gets to be feeling better. And well, we might have an update on the mysterious Bray Wyatt, too.
I mean, possibly. Also, Finn Balor is out with an illness.
A mysterious illness that requires medical clearance to come back from. So, don't know what that is, but feel better, Finn.
He is scheduled to work on Sunday.
He is, yes, but
he must have something contagious.
Well, let's hope that it's not what Kairi Sane has, because that could be not fun.
That's not fun.
But yeah, also, just as a quick update on Bray Wyatt, Matt Hardy kind of came out and made a statement saying he might be returning to the ring. But also that Bray Wyatt, well, Bray needed a little time off to recover from his injuries from his car accident a few months ago. So apparently that's where he's been, is recovering. And if that's the case, that's totally cool. You do you, boo. You feel better, but you're still missed.
But he's still healthy and ready to return.
Yeah, he's good to go at this point. But yeah, it's like, at least we now know why he suddenly disappeared from TV, and that would be because the child needed to rest. Because, yeah, you know, car accidents are no joke.
He probably needed a month, and he's been gone for how long?
Three.
Yeah.
And counting.
And counting. And counting.
Moving on to four at this point. So yeah, so there's that. Maybe he'll be back in time. Here's hoping, probably not. For WWE Week on the USA Network, that is coming to the week of New Year's. So we've got Raw, SmackDown, New Year's, WWE 2018, Pancake Power, New Year in Super Spectacular on Wednesday.
You want to read that again?
New Days.
There you go.
WWE. Well, I mean, technically it's New Year. Anyway, New Days, WWE 2018, Pancake Powered, Year in Super Spectacular on Wednesday. Good Lord, that is a mouthful.
That's 10 p.m. on Wednesday, I believe.
Yes. And then we have Tribute to the Troops and a Miz and Mrs. Marathon on Thursday.
Plus, on Friday, there's going to be one of the Rock's movies going to be aired as well.
Like you do. So, that's pretty much it for the news. This was a pretty quiet week, thank goodness. We're starting to slow down due to the holidays, so hopefully things should stay quiet. And speaking of the holidays, stay tuned for an announcement. Actually, I guess we can go ahead and talk about it now.
Yeah, let's talk about it now.
All right, so I am going out of town for Christmas, y'all. I am going away to see family in 2 weeks, and we are leaving on Friday of next week, which means we're doing our Christmas for my family, my immediate family, on Thursday. We do a little thing called This Show on Thursday. We also do a little thing called Jingle All the Rack. So here's how this is going to go. Jingle All the Rack next week will be pre-recorded because I will be celebrating pre-Christmas with my family before celebrating real Christmas with my extended family later that week. The following week, we will be live for Pop Goes the Rack, our New Year's Spectacular, and we will be doing Ask the Rack for Pop Goes the Rack. So get your questions ready, submit them, you can tweet them, you can email them, you can Facebook them, you can... I wouldn't put them in chat because we probably won't see it.
Don't put them in chat. Here's what we're going to do. All right, so in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, yeah, 2 weeks from today, we're doing Ask the Rack Live. So you can email them, media@wildtalkradio.com. But the best way to do it is tweet them, @wildtalkradio, @rackradioshow. So you can ask us anything. Anything you want to know. It could be wrestling related. It can be Fortnite related. It can be stupid related. It can be a smart-ass question. It can be a dumb-ass question. But if it's a smart-ass or a dumb-ass question, expect a dumb-ass or smart-ass response.
Exactly.
But we have a lot of fun, so get your questions in. Tweet them @WildTalkRadio. You can email them media@wildtalkradio.com. It's the way to do it. So we'll do that live in 2 weeks. And if you want, maybe we'll take live questions as well. Because that show, basically, is going to be questions only. Because it's going to be... Raw's going to be pre-taped. It's going to be the holiday show, so we're not going to really talk about them. Probably not going to be a lot of news because it's the holidays. Unless something major happens, we'll talk about it.
I'm probably going to be hungover, so, you know.
So there's that. So we're just going to do questions on that day. So it's a whole hour and a half, whatever. However long it takes us, we'll do questions in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so you can ask as many as you want. So get them ready, send them in, because this is one of our favorite shows to do. We love it when you guys send in questions. We wish people did it all the time. So if you want to submit questions to the show, you're always welcome to do that. We're happy to answer questions on the air. But yeah, this is one of my favorite shows to do. I love to do the Ask the Rack shows because we can, it's like just different for us. So please submit your questions and I can't wait to see what comes in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of rework it a little bit. Let's do Mixed Match Challenge and NXT.
Okay. So let's go Mixed Match Challenge.
It is time to mix it up.
You don't scare me, big boy. But you just listen to me and do exactly as I say, and we'll become Mixed Match Challenge champions. So put her there.
It's the Mixed Match Challenge recap.
So
this makes me so sad because Team Little Big was in this tourney and they've both since been replaced.
So if you listened to this show last week, I kind of spoiled it for you. I told you what was going to happen, because it did happen. We were not forecasting a Finn Balor injury or illness to take him out, as he was replaced by Apollo Crews when Bayley and Apollo took on Jinder and Alicia, which saw Alicia Fox and Jinder Mahal win. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
And then Carmella and R-Truth beat Miz and Asuka, taking out the champions from last season. So now your Mixed Match Challenge finale, live Sunday, is Alicia and Jinder versus Carmella and R-Truth, with the winning team getting the 30th slot and a vacation. Yep, the two laughing stock teams at the end, in the beginning, are in your finals.
It's different. I'll give them that.
Once Finn and Asuka were put in matches, you knew those teams were not winning, so kind of spoiled it there.
I can hope.
You can hope, but it was not to be.
I know. But yeah, so we'll talk about that a little bit later when we get to TLC, because they will be fighting in the finals of TLC.
Mixed Match Challenge at TLC.
Yes, so we'll get there when we talk about it. But yes, so I just wanted to go over that real quick. NXT?
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So, the show opened with Adam Cole and Undisputed Era coming out. They talked about how EC3 was stupid to come to NXT and get involved in Undisputed Era's business. He said this was only the start of their dominance, because this is not just a one-year thing, it's a decade of dominance for the Undisputed Era, and all of them will be draped in gold in 2019, which led to Bobby Fish and EC3. If you remember a few weeks ago, Bobby Fish took out EC3 when he returned, taking out his knee, so this led to this matchup, which saw EC3 get the win. Afterwards, Undisputed Era put the boots to EC3. See, then you had Heavy Machinery make the big save. We even got a little worm action from Otis. Good stuff.
Which is weird.
Yeah, he calls it the caterpillar, but it's the worm. Still.
Oh, well, it's different. I mean, gotta give him that.
Mm-hmm. Solid open to show. Dakota Kai and Io Shirai made a challenge to Marina and Jasmine Duke for a matchup next week, which later saw later in the show. They did accept by laughing. They left the challenge off. Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch defeated the Mighty. I don't know what it is about the Mighty TM61, whatever you want to call them. I don't know. They're good, but they're very bland.
I kind of feel like things got missed with them just because they got hurt. One of them got hurt and they were gone for so long because they were hot there for a while, and then the injury happened, and they've just never been able to regain their footing after that. You know, it's just like they've come back and they've just never been able to get quite there. And I think part of it is mainly because they've just been really inconsistent in the way that they've been booked. I mean, they haven't been on every week.
No, and one of them was injured, and he's back now, so they've been back for a few months, but just very inconsistent book. And again, there's nothing to latch on to, and I think that's my problem. There's not a lot that you can latch on to Burch and Lorcan either, but the Mighty just, I don't know, they're missing it, as it were.
Well, I think what would help them is a competitive tag team division.
Yeah.
Which they really don't have. So maybe we can get the Mighty sort of starting to target Undisputed Era. That would be cool.
Maybe. Gargano was in this place, in the parking lot, you know, where he attacked Aleister Black. Talk about everything. Talk about the steel cage next week. He said Black can lock him up in a cage. He's here to put an end to the story the right way. he'll close the book on Aleister Black next week. Aleister cut a nice promo as well with the whole big high-budget promo. Then we had an announcement. Lacey Evans is now part of the qualifying, the number one contenders match in the Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match coming up in a couple weeks to crown a new number one contender for the Women's Championship. Speaking of that, we had another qualifying matchup on the show. It was Mia Yim, Rena Gonzalez, which saw Mia Yim advance to the Fatal 4-Way as well.
I'm okay with this choice. I'm fine with this. Going back to the Johnny and Aleister stuff real quick, I love this feud.
Yeah.
I love everything about this feud. I love how they're running Johnny Gargano right now. I love how they're presenting him. It's something really, really different, and you can tell that he's really enjoying it, that he's sinking his teeth into it, because it's a refresh for him. Because it's like he always had to be Johnny Wrestling and be the good guy and, you know, the adorable guy. And it's like now he's kind of tapped his dark side a little bit, and I absolutely love it. I think it's fantastic what he's doing. So he and Aleister both should both be commended for what's going on right now, because it's fantastic.
So now it's the North American Championship match. Ricochet defending against a surprise opponent, none other than... Tyler Breeze, back in NXT.
This made me really, really happy because it's like, yay, they're finally doing something with Tyler, but at the same time, it makes you really sad because you're like, oh, Tyler, honey. Like, he worked so hard to get out of NXT, and they're just, and he really just has not had a lot of success on the main roster. So it's always good to see him go back to a place where he did have a ton of success, which was NXT. He did really well for himself there. And, you know, so the fact that he's being used, he's being put in a championship match, that's awesome for him. But at the same time, you're like, oh.
And what was great about this one, you got to see everything of vintage Breeze. The pose, in the corner, the little, you know, him being all cocky and stuff. We had dueling Tyler's gorgeous Ricochet chants. This matchup was really, really good.
Tyler got to, like, show his chops a little bit and actually be himself, which was wonderful to see. Like, again, he's off TV right now because Fandango is out hurt, so they're not pushing him solo. And he's such a fantastic talent. It sucks that he's on the bench right now. And so I'm really happy they sent him back to NXT and let him do this. He's honestly kind of one of the ones, and I hate to say this because I know the system isn't set up to do this, but I wish they would just put him in developmental permanently, because they write him so much better there. They treat him so much better there than they do on the main roster.
He comes like off as a bigger star at NXT than he does on the main roster.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a crime what they do to him on the main roster, because he's so good at what he does. And they just, like, have him relegated to this joke tag team. Not that there's anything wrong with the Fashion Police, but it's just, like, he could be so much more for them, and they just don't let him do it. Yeah. And it's a shame.
It's a
crying shame.
It is a shame. But Ricochet retains the title after the Michi Hoku Driver. Good match, really good match. I would want more of that. He tweeted something about checklist off of for Ricochet in this next one, Velveteen Dream.
I'd be okay with that.
Be okay with those two fighting it out.
Same.
So that's NXT.
That's NXT. I wanted to get the wrestling out of the way because I want to talk a little Fortnite.
Okay, let's talk a little Fortnite.
So season 7 has dropped. We have the ice map. We have all kinds of epic things. And one of the things that dropped in the ice map was a castle called Polar Peak that I affectionately call something else that I cannot say on this show. Because it looks a little phallic. We'll just leave it at that. And so they dropped this trailer Monday. They dropped the trailer where it's basically showing the final skin in the battle pass called the Ice King on Polar Peak with the castle fully revealed. It's super cool. It's neat. And oh, hey, look, there's a giant sword and the king is pulling the giant sword out of this like stone. So you have the whole sword in the stone mythos. And then on top of that, you have this really epic thing called the Infinity Blade, which gives you 200 health, destroys everything in its path.
200 health, 200 shield.
200 health, 200 shield, destroys everything in its path, does 75 damage, one hit, so you can literally kill people in like two swings. You collect all the materials at once, so like if you hit a building, you get max materials, you hit a tree, you get max materials, so you can get up to everything full super quick. And it's just this you can sort of, you can move, what, twice as fast as you normally would?
30% faster.
Yeah. I mean, you can jump, you can fly, you can just destroy things. It's this awesome thing. Well, Fortnite also announced that the Winter Royale, their open tourney,
for $500,000.
For $500,000, was going into the semifinals this week, and the semifinals were...
on Tuesday.
Tuesday, and the finals were on Wednesday yesterday. So, in the finals and semifinals was this sword. This epic thing that has caused so much joy and so much angst in 1 week. It's absolutely incredible. And there are people who are genuinely excited about this thing. There are people who are pissed about this thing. And there are people who are just bitter. Yes, you do drop all your weapons as a caveat, but you really don't need them with that thing. You really don't if you've played with it. Although I will say it's not good for like close hand-to-hand combat and build battles. It's really not effective in that. If you can get to someone, it doesn't matter that you don't have any weapons. You can take them out. Now, it is relatively easy to take out the person with the sword if you're a good shot. Because again, all you have to do is really just break them down. Essentially,
I can say this. I killed the dude with a sword once in Team Royale. I was killed immediately because there were 7,000 people, but I'm able to kill the guy.
Yeah, the dude with the sword is actually relatively easy to take out. I mean, you just gotta hit, seriously.
You have to hit your shot. If you miss your first one, you're dead.
Yeah, but if you hit him, you hit him.
Yeah, you gotta hit the first shot because if you miss, then your second one won't do any damage that's needed to take him out. If you hit the first, you can hit the second. And so on and so forth, and he's weaker.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so all this is taking place. So the tourney happens, right? You get people going. Of course, one guy goes for the sword in the first game, doesn't really do a whole lot with it, and pretty much gets killed in the first circle. So we don't really get to see what it could do in tourney play. It's really ineffective. What else we get to see are the planes and how those affect tourney play. Yes, in case you aren't aware, Season 7 of Fortnite has airplanes with unlimited flight time.
Right. Going back to the sword really quick. In the first couple of games, they was uncontested. As you got later there were five or six people going for this sword over and over again. Ooh.
Well, partially what happened with it was because somebody got the sword to the final circle or one of the final circles and put on an absolute show with it.
Mm-hmm. There was a few people who did, yeah.
Dropped like a 10 or a 12 bomb in the tourney play.
They went from 3 kills to 13, one person did.
Yeah. All with the sword. So after that, everybody was kind of like, hey! And by the way, this is an elimination-based structure, so you get a point for a certain amount of kills, and then after that, you get so many points per elim, I should say. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
So people started putting on a show with the sword, and people started getting upset about it, that it's like, well, there's no skill to use a sword, there's no this, there's no that, it shouldn't be in tourney play, because basically, if you've ever watched competitive Fortnite, a lot of time what happens is towards the end of the final circles, they all hole up in a little one-by-one box, and they either do a heal off, which is they take all their healables and try and see who gets eliminated first by the storm, or they fight it out. 9 times out of 10, especially recently, it was going to heal offs, which wasn't very exciting. So you're basically sitting there watching people just sit in a box and heal. It's not terribly exciting. So with the sword, what happens is like, for one of the games, the guy was sitting in a box waiting, and we got to the final circle, and when he decided to make his move, he made his move and he busted through his structure and about 20 others and just started taking people out because it's such close quarters. You don't have a choice but to get hit by this thing. Like, it's that's heavy and that long and all the things that, you know, when you're right up next to it, you kind of can't avoid this thing. So he's going off, he's swinging people, he's walking up behind them and just taking them out. I mean, the whole shenanigans. And that's when people start getting upset because it's like, well, but they shouldn't be doing that. Like, you know, you shouldn't be walking up and just swinging this thing and busting through structures. It's like, and a lot of the community is really divided by this. And this is why I want to talk about it.
I want to call a lot of divide.
Huh?
I want to say a lot of divide. It's a lot all in one direction.
It's a lot of One Direction. People basically want the sword removed from tourney play. I don't really see it that way because everybody's like, well, it's unfair that you can just walk up behind somebody and swing the sword and kill them. It's like, well, okay, but to the same point, it's unfair to walk up behind somebody, shoot him in the back, essentially, and eliminate them. Like, that's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's unfair to eliminate somebody when their back is turned, and that's when everybody does it. I mean, me personally, just from a competitive aspect, I feel like the sword has changed the way the game is played. And I think that's why people are really upset, is like, it's changed the dynamic. It's made it more difficult for tourney play, because instead of just sitting in a box and waiting for a heal off at the end, it's you actually have to fight.
And part of the problem was it was dropped day of tournament. They didn't have it. No one had a real chance to use it in any sort of, okay, put some hours in, let's figure out how this works.
Well, but Epic is notorious for that.
Oh, yeah. That's not. I'm just saying, that's why a lot of them, to begin with, were upset. It's, hey, day one, you know, here we go. They've come out and said they're going to be making some changes to it. They're going to be, like, you're going to be, right now you have the ability to build and harvest with the blade. You won't be next week. And they're going to keep it in. It's not going anywhere. Whether it goes for a competitive, play still, we'll see. And this is not the only item. There are going to be more mythic items dropped.
But I don't understand the point of it if you can't farm with it and you can't build. Like, you literally, it's just basically a fancy pickaxe at that point. And it's not even that. It's like, what is the point of it? You're essentially making it. It's like, yes, it's still highly dangerous. Yes, it still gives you the health and the shield. But it's like, if you can't farm with it, what's the point?
We'll see.
I mean, I'm sorry. I would rather you lower the hit count on it than you nuke its ability to farm. That's stupid to me.
Yeah. We'll see.
But the other thing that I wanted to talk about with the tourney play that I really feel like should be pointed out, and the sword's getting a lot of the directed hate that this is not, is the planes. Okay. So it's a Fortnite tournament, right? You're supposed to be going in there and shooting at each other and eliminating each other for money, right? There's 75K in this particular point of the tourney on the line. What are people doing? They are loading up, they are finding an airplane, and they are sitting in the air, and they are literally just flying around the map, not interacting with each other, not interacting with anything, until the final circle, and then they get out of their plane, and they get in the circle. That, to me, is worse than sitting in a one-by-one box. And honestly, it's a coward move. You're in a pro tournament, and to be fair, there's a lot of fault with this particular tourney. Where there are a ton of issues. There have been cheating accusations. There have been rule changes midstream. There have been a lot of problems with this. So this is kind of a par for the course thing for this tourney. But it's like, if you're going to get in a pro tourney, and I understand it's all strategy to try to last till the end. But it's like, if you're going to go to a pro tourney and you're going to sit in a goddamn airplane and you're just going to fly around the map, get out. Like, I can understand one or two people doing this. There were 10. There were at least 10 every game doing this. You would look in the air and you would just see airplanes flying around the circle, not interacting, not shooting each other, not doing anything. Just flying. That's it. Just flying. And it's like, that's stupid. No?
Oh, no. Planes were a huge problem. Especially when they were non-combat planes.
I feel like, honestly, what needs to happen is there needs to be a gas tank or something put on the planes. Or limit the planes somehow, where it's just not constant flight. And I love the planes. I think they're great. Go into Playground all the time and fly the planes. But it's something that it's, for tourney, it's like you need to put some sort of limitation on them just so people can't camp in an airplane over the map.
That said, all the negative aside, it was a fun as hell royale to watch.
Oh, God, it was great. Oh, God, aside from the planes and the sword controversy, Jesus, this was one of the best tourneys I've watched.
It was
because it was so competitive.
It was competitive and ridiculous at the end. So the final 5 minutes of every match were ridiculous because you have no idea what's going on. It was great. It was fun to watch. It was exciting to watch. Were there problems? Hell yeah. But everyone walked away with money who made the top 100. Made at least $1,500 for the day. The most you're making is $7,500 for the day. It wasn't like you weren't going in, here's 250. If the stakes were like it was for TwitchCon, where it's like, here's a big chunk of money for the top prize.
Yeah.
Then there would have been issues. This was not a skirmish. This was a royale. Smaller prize. Even though it was like a $1 million prize pool, it spread out enough where it's not here's, here's not, it's not life-changing money. So it's like, if it was $250,000, you would see a lot more complaint. It wasn't that high, so go from there.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, the tourney was really good. I just wanted to kind of talk about it and get it off my chest a little bit, because it's like, I feel like the sword did good things. It didn't do bad things for the tourney, because it's like, here's the thing, like, the first game, nobody contested it. The second game, nobody contested it. The third game, 5 people dropped there. And suddenly you had a contest for this thing, and people fighting over it. It's like, you go in and you watch the regular play. Everybody is going to Polar Peak to get a hold of this thing. Everybody. It's insanity.
It's doing its job.
It's creating interest in the game. And the cool thing is like the sword can change hands. So if you take out the person with the sword, hey, guess what? It's yours. Mm-hmm. And you can run around the map with it and do whatever the heck you want with it. And that's cool. It's mm-hmm. also in Playground. Like, I meant to say this earlier, but, like, the whole it dropped the day of thing annoys me, because it's like, okay, yeah, it dropped the day of. It was in Playground. If you wanted to figure out what it could do, you could go into Playground and you could figure it out
mm-hmm.
before the tournament, because the tournament wasn't until, like, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
We'll see. It was fine. I enjoyed it.
But I mean, that's it. But yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of this tourney. I hope they continue to drop like surprises like that and, you know, piss everybody off. Because it creates controversy and therefore it creates news. But yeah, I would highly recommend going back and watch this one, because it was a lot of fun to actually watch if you're into competitive Fortnite or any competitive game. But that being said, I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Yes, so when we come back, we'll be doing SmackDown along with TLC and Tweet of the Week, all your favorites. And stay tuned, because there will be an incarnation of Fortnite with friends tonight after this show, speaking of Fortnite. And yes, we will display the sword for you so you can see it in action. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
When I appear, super good looking, every hair in place. Everyone loves this gorgeous face. You can't deny my beauty shot on everything that you are not. Part man, but all model. Am I what you want?
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list. Write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Your eyes follow like a spotlight, two eyes like the sun. Go ahead, keep your distance from me. Soon you're gonna come. When you flick your head off, you don't care, and you're asking where I'm from. That game that you're running, baby, you've already won. I need to know, no, no. What do you need, need, need? What do you like? Cause I'm gonna be it tonight. You can be cool, you can be shy. Say what you want, say what you like.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Bunch of our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FivePoop.com as well. And, well, it's the second part of the show, so that means one thing, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I have nothing, so rock, fire away.
Luke Harper, I'm a team player. Oh, wait, that was 4 years ago. Never mind. I want to slap me that year. Matt Hardy. Walk with Elias or bend over with Bobby. The choice is yours. These are some I forgot I had from before. Luke Harper said, I'm a team player. Ty Dillinger, individual business, kid. Patrick Mahomes, yesterday I played Fortnite for the first time in a while and someone killed me with my jersey on. Don't know how to feel about that. Patrick Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City quarterback. Luke Harper, my son is wrestling a bear in our living room and just introduced himself as Brody Lee Jr. to the crowd. I've never been more proud. Too bad his dad has passed. Oh, Luke. Let's see. Austin Creed, Landon Kolo Lumpur, customs agent. You're with WWE. Me, yeah. Kofi Kingston, customs agent. Kofi Kingston, me. Now I'm the other black guy, customs agent. So you're not Kofi Kingston. Me, no. Customs agent takes me to a shady side room. Guys, pretty sure this is Kofi Kingston. He just doesn't want to tell me. Damn.
Ouch.
Dr. Lubo, redeploy isn't in the game at Ninja. Why did you jump up the quad? That's a cough. Ninja goes,
I was going to say, wait, did my internet connection just die? Like, what the hell?
I started coughing.
Also, that video, lols.
Yeah. Ninja goes, I hate you. Lupo replies, ha 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 ha, you died in front of millions. I'm having a drink with Courage Shady, Tim and Tapman, Mrs. Dr. Lupo, and Action Jackson. Hold this L.
They love each other so much.
So mean. So mean. Let's see. So there's a tweet going, a picture going around was with Lars Sullivan is lurking. Someone named Casey goes, in the DMs?
You know, they could have, like, used a better word than lurking for him.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since some of his comments have come to light.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Becky Lynch. So Graves has been saying, I'm too cocky and I talk too much on social media. Like, that's a bad thing. I drop up more interest in one tweet than you do with five hours of your heat and light routine every week. Listen, I'm here to make history. You're just here to observe me doing it.
Ouch.
Luke Harper. My son is a terrible singer. I should be the one to tell him, right?
No.
Brandy Rhodes. What's one thing you want for Christmas? Zack Ryder. For your husband to text me back. EC3. Good news, guys. Carly. Maxine from WWE fame, or Katrina from Lucha Underground. Good news. She accepted my lunch date proposal through IG DMs. She goes, lunch it is, tomorrow at noon, don't be late. Drake Maverick. Mate, no girls, you promise. EC3. She was you before there was you, man.
I mean, it's not a lie. They're kind of married, actually, so, you know.
That's all I got.
Alrighty, so are we talking SmackDown, or are we just going to mix it in with TLC?
Mix it in with TLC.
Alright, so this Sunday on the WWE Network, the exciting conclusion to the WWE pay-per-view schedule for the year, which is Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
Oh my.
Oh my. And, well, this is going to be kind of interesting because people could be back, people could not be back. We don't know. We don't know who's actually showing up at this show. Because there are several matches that are scheduled and several people who are out.
Yeah.
We'll have to see, but we're going to start at the top of the list, which is the finale of the Mixed Match Challenge. You have Alicia Fox and Jinder Mahal taking on Carmella and R-Truth.
For the lulz, it's Carmella and R-Truth. You can do comedy skits with them going on vacation. And because the dance break took over, that's why they're in the finals. So I'm going Carmella and R-Truth to win the Mixed Match Challenge finals.
Yeah, I'll tend to agree with that. I feel like something's going to happen with Alicia and Jinder, and they're either going to break apart or...
The Singh brothers will cost it.
Yeah, the Singh brothers are going to cost them the match or something like that.
So I asked this question. 8-Ball, will Alicia Fox and Jinder Mahal win the Mixed Match Challenge? 8-Ball says yes.
Hmm. Treacherous 8-Ball, we're already starting on a bad foot. Rude.
Next.
Up next, we have Natty Neidhart taking on Ruby Riott in a tables match in what I hope to God is the conclusion to the storyline. Not that it's Natty or Ruby's fault. I'm just not a fan of using people's dead relatives from real life situations in wrestling storylines. So, but from what I understand, it's been oddly cathartic for Natty.
Yeah, I was going to say, she made a comment, it's very therapeutic for her.
Which, if it's helping her, that's awesome, and that's great.
Yeah.
And helping her move past her father's death is the most important thing, but, yeah.
So, when it comes to the match, since she dedicated the match to her father on television, you would assume the feel-good ending is Natty winning the match, right?
Yes.
But this is WWE booking, right?
Well, but it depends on how long the storyline's going to go. Like, it can't go much past this, right?
I mean, it's WWE booking. It's the holidays. Anything's possible. Just saying. I'm going to say... See, okay. They like to watch Natty cry. And Natty's good at crying on demand. The idea in my head is like, Natty, now all distraught, she dedicated this to her father, and you get Natty to cry, right? You get Natty to cry. That would be the reason Ruby would win, because you want to see Natty cry.
But I don't want to see Natty cry. Like, that's the whole thing.
I don't want to see Natty cry either, but this is them, so I'm just throwing that out there. I'm going Natty wins.
Yeah, I feel like you need to move on from this. Feel-good moment is Natty beats down Ruby Riott and puts her through a table, and thus, you know, wins the match for her father and all is right with the world. And you can still have Natty cry. She can break down in tears of joy. And there you go, Natty crying, if that's what you want, if that's what you're into. But yeah, I feel like the good moment is Natty winning.
So, 8-Ball, will Ruby Riott win the tables match?
No.
8-Ball's going with Natty.
See, you call it a slut, it'll agree with you.
There you go.
Up next, in a ladder match with a guitar hanging above the ring, so we have a guitar on a pole match, it is Bobby Lashley taking on Elias in... I don't even know what to call this feud. I just...
The one plays guitar, one shakes their ass match? I don't know.
I was going to say Bobby and his ass taking on Elias, but...
And we're not talking about Leo Rush.
May he wear a shirt.
I don't know why this is a ladder match. It's basically an item on a pole match, the Russo special. It's a ladder match because they need a ladder match on the show. I don't know. You could have given the men's tag team a ladder match, and boy, would they have tore the house down. This is going to be a slow, plodding, quick ladder match that's not going to be really... That's going to end, I believe, in pinfall. I think whoever gets a guitar gets to use it, yada, yada, yada. Breaking news, by the way. As I read on my sheet, I got Michael Cole.
Did you have to turn around to get it?
I did. Mm. Lashley's got to win, right?
I couldn't tell you who needs to win this match. I mean, I honestly don't know. Partially because I have not paid attention enough to this feud to really know.
There's really not much to the feud. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's like, this feud has been so disinteresting to me that it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's like when I said you make Bobby Lashley a heel and you have him start, you know, doing what he did. Yeah, but they're having him show his ass and shake his ass. And it's like, that's not how this should work.
Yes.
So.
There are 12 matches on this show.
There are 12 matches. This is going to be a long one, y'all.
Or really quick matches. There are gimmick matches. We're talking about one right now.
We're talking about it's a ladder match. Yeah, we are talking about
for no reason. Yeah, there's no reason. Yeah, well, you know, it's TLC. You gotta have. We'll get to one that really doesn't need a gimmick, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Brent, don't you have a paper to be writing?
Right, I'm going Lashley. You're going.
I guess I'll go Lashley because I don't know who else to go for in this. So yeah, Lashley it is. Sure, let's do that.
8-Ball.
That works.
8-Ball, do you walk with Elias? Yep, it walks with Elias. Next.
Up next, we have, as I pull the sheet back up, Finn Balor taking on Drew McIntyre. This promises to be a good match. Now, whether Finn Balor is recovered from his very mysterious illness, we'll have to see. All indications are pointing to yes, but...
Hold on.
Who knows?
As you ask that, 8-Ball, will Finn Balor appear? On Sunday.
What did it say?
All signs point to yes.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Will we get Balor the Demon? I have no idea. We're probably just getting Balor. But this should be good. Like, this is one of the few... This is one of the better built feuds on the show, I would say.
It is. It's okay. Drew McIntyre's winning.
Drew McIntyre's winning. As much as I want Finn to win, it's going to be McIntyre. So, it is what it is.
So, will Finn Balor win this Sunday, 8-Ball? No.
Poor Finn.
I mean, the push is for Drew McIntyre. He lost to Dolph Ziggler 2 weeks ago. He got his win back on Monday night. So now it's Drew McIntyre on the rise to whatever they're planning on doing to be him the number 1, 2, 3 heel on the roster. So he's got to win this one.
Yep.
Next.
Next, we have the WWE Cruiserweight Championship on the line. With Buddy Murphy taking on Cedric Alexander. I don't even know who to pick for this. I do.
I know who to pick.
Who?
Buddy Murphy.
All right, we'll go with Buddy Murphy because I have no idea.
Because you've had the belt. Cedric had the belt for so long this year. So long. Why put it right back on him? Buddy's doing fine with the belt. You don't need... This is his rematch. This is his first opportunity. He had to earn his opportunity back because he was on a losing streak. So it's like, hey, he got his opportunity back. So let's give him the feel-good moment. But you've done everything you can with Cedric Alexander as the champion. Let Buddy keep the belt. Buddy's doing fine with the belt. So I'm going Buddy Murphy.
Ditto.
8-Ball, are you going Buddy Murphy to keep his belt? Definitely, yes. There you go.
All right. Up next in your throwback match from 2008, we have Randy Orton taking on Rey Mysterio in a chairs match.
Why is it a chairs match? Because Randy Orton once attacked Rey Mysterio with a chair. Who knows whether it was in 2005, 2008, or 2018. Nobody knows. They used chairs on SmackDown Live to set up the match. That was already previously announced as a chairs match, but they drove the point home with more chairs on SmackDown Live. Booyaka, booyaka, 619, booyaka, booyaka. Ray's gonna win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. So, 8-Ball, will Rey Mysterio win the chairs match? They better not tell me. So that's a no. Sorry, Ray. 8-Ball does not like you.
Rude. Moving on from that, we have the SmackDown Tag Team Champions on the line as we have The Bar taking on the Usos, taking on the New Day. Is there not another tag team on SmackDown?
No.
Is it just these three?
Just those three.
I thought the...
They're Sanity.
Were they?
There were the Bludgeon Brothers.
Well, we know where they are.
There's the Clones.
Okay. What about the Club?
There's the Club.
Aren't they there?
They're there, but that's about it.
Okay, so why can't you, if you're not using half the tag teams on SmackDown, since, like, one of them or two of them to Raw?
I mean, you could. But okay, don't usually play clips on this show, but I need to play a clip. From SmackDown Live. Because it's very, very important. It's from the rap battle, and it has to do with this match.
This is gonna be good. We hope.
Yo, check it, check it. All right, this has gone too far. Big Tony, let's hit them with the bar. Ice, ice, shamey. Ice, ice, shamey. Yo, stop. Collaborate and listen. The bar is back with a brand new diss and Shamey. It's gonna hold you tightly. Zara's gonna swing you daily and nightly. When will you stop?
I don't know.
Yo, Shamey, let's go back to the flow. The extreme gonna bro kick your head like a vandal. When we step through those ropes, nobody can hold a candle.
Ice, ice, Shamey. Din, 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 din. Ice, ice, Shamey. Din.
That was absolutely...
We shut it down, dog! Yeah, word to your mother.
Well...
You know. These two idiots. Practice that.
Forever.
Forever. For at least a week. Probably at least all day.
All day.
To get that right.
They had the tracksuits and everything.
They had at least a week to get all that. At least a week. And you know they practiced that every night that they had it. I mean, I just don't even know what to do with that. It's like you're sitting there and you're like, these are grown men doing this.
Yep.
God love them.
Yep. So it's The Bar, New Day, and Usos for the tag team titles. The Bar got the advantage on SmackDown Live. Does Ice Ice Shamey pull it out and keep their belts on Sunday, Lindsay?
Honestly, I don't want to see it go back on the Usos or on New Day. I really kind of want it to stay on The Bar. I feel like they're doing fine with it. And I would really like to see them move on from the Usos or the New Day or both and on to someone like the Colognes or the Club or any of the other legitimate tag teams that they have on SmackDown. Not the Bludgeon Brothers because, well, Eric's still hurt,
but, yeah.
But, you know, just to... You know, I don't know, liven things up, maybe change things, spice it up a bit. Just a thought.
So you're going The Bar.
I'm going The Bar.
If they didn't lay the teams out on SmackDown, I was totally going The Bar. But they got the advantage. My money is on the New Day. I don't know why, I just get that feeling. New Day's getting the belt. 8-Ball, does Ice Ice Shamey retain? No. Which means, 8-Ball, does the New Day win the belts? That says don't count on. So it means that the Usos are going to be your new tag team champions, according to 8-Ball. Next matchup on the show.
Alrighty, up next we have, in what promises to be a very fun match.
Should be the main event, should be the show closer, it should be the finale, this should be everything.
All the things, and more. The SmackDown Women's Championship will be on the line in a TLC match as Becky Lynch defends her title against Charlotte Flair and Asuka.
If SmackDown was any indication if Becky was healthy enough to take stuff...
She is.
The whooping Asuka put on Charlotte and Becky with the cane. Ooh.
Yeah. Asuka was like, fuck your shit.
Becky laid into Charlotte too. I mean, it was all... They were whacking each other with canes. It was awesome.
is fantastic. I loved every second of it. I cannot wait for this match. It's going to be so damn good.
This is going to be a really good match. They're going to do some stuff they shouldn't do. They're going to do stuff we think they'll do. Okay. We all know what everyone wants. You want Ronda and Becky. What the internet wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's what the people want. There's only one way to do it. Either Ronda or Becky has to drop their championship. And there's no way Ronda Rousey is dropping her belt and suffering her first loss before going to WrestleMania.
Are we sure about that?
I am positive about that. Thus, at some point, Becky Lynch needs to drop her belt. This is the situation where she doesn't have to be pinned or submitted to lose her championship and to stop her momentum. This is your opportunity to take the belt off of Becky. Is this what I want to happen? Hell no. But it's something that's probably gonna happen. Asuka is winning this championship on Sunday.
You know, honestly, if Becky has to drop it to anybody, Asuka's kind of the person I want to see her drop it to. I mean, seriously, because Asuka can just kind of pick up that mantle where Becky's leaving off and carry it forward. Not that I'm saying Charlotte couldn't, but I think I'm just so over Charlotte as a champion, and I hate to say that because she's so good, but it's like she's been champion a lot, especially recently, so it's kind of like,
She doesn't need the belt right now.
She
doesn't need the belt. It's a situation where you have the easy setup. You put Becky in the Rumble. She wins the Rumble. She comes to Raw, goes after Rousey for WrestleMania. That's your setup. That's your easy setup if they want to do it easily. By all means, Becky could win Sunday, retain it, and they do something convoluted and get the belt off her at some point, what have you, because you got to get one of the belts off of them if you're going to do the match, because then you have no Royal Rumble winner. So that's the key. If the women didn't have a Rumble, you could do Rousey versus Lynch at WrestleMania, champion versus champion. But you got a Rumble now that has to play a part. That's why I'm going Asuka.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to move Becky in that direction, I agree with all of that. Just take the title off of her, focus her in on Ronda, focus her in on the Rumble. And that could be like the whole surprise thing for Becky, is it's like she goes in and she wins the Royal Rumble and everybody's like, oh, well, she's going to challenge Asuka, da 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 da, and she's going to do the thing and this. And then she's like, nope, I want Ronda Rousey. Bring her to me. Everybody's like, say, what? Not really. But I mean, you catch my drift on that, where it's everybody thinks she's going for her own title when she's not really. She's right. Going for Ronda.
Yeah.
And we all sit there and scream with joy when that happens.
Say what?
There you go.
So you're going Asuka as well?
I'm going Asuka as well.
8-Ball, does Becky Lynch retain her SmackDown Women's Championship on Sunday? Yes. 8-Ball still backing Becky Lynch. Up next, Lindsay.
Up next, we have the Raw Women's Championship on the line as Ronda Rousey takes on Nia Jax for the title. Okay, so you've been trying to get Nia Jax over as the face breaker and
done nothing to do it.
Keep going. Yeah, and so
let's be all real. What has she done to be a face breaker?
She broke Becky Lynch's face.
Besides that.
She broke Becky Lynch's face.
Besides that.
She hurt her fist while breaking Becky Lynch's face.
Besides that.
Nothing. But she did break Becky Lynch's face, so, you know.
Did she? I didn't hear that once, twice.
Yeah, I know, right? It's so stunning. Anyway, so I know we just talked about Becky losing her title and that Ronda's not going to lose her title, but honestly, if you're going to get Nia over as a badass, there's only one way to do it. At this point, and she's got to beat Ronda.
There is no way Nia Jax is winning on Sunday.
I know this, but for this whole thing that they've been trying to do with her to work, she's kind of got to win. Like, if she doesn't, everything they just did doesn't matter.
They didn't do anything, though. They made her a coward.
Exactly.
A coward's not winning the championship. I've been saying this for weeks. It's very simple how to book Nia Jax, and they haven't done a damn thing. Yeah, break her nose, bust up Rousey, knock her out. They could have did that on Monday. One punch instead of running scared, Nia walks, gets right up in Ronda's face, punches her, and knocks her out. What kind of statement would that made? What kind of statement if she just every single week walked up to somebody, knocked them out? #facebreaker. You could have made it a GIF, trending worldwide. boom, here's this 5-second GIF. Boom. Put the hashtag, Facebreaker, would trend it worldwide. Simple, easy booking. Didn't do any of it. She was a coward. She needs Tamina. She's not going to win this matchup. Ronda Rousey's retaining her championship.
Yeah, I mean, you could have done a lot to help Nia Jax. I mean, again, I'm highly conflicted because it's like, they took advantage of a real-life situation, they turned it into a storyline, and for that I'm very proud of them, but it's like you're basically glorifying the fact that she legitimately hurt Becky Lynch and put her on the shelf for a couple weeks. And I don't know how I feel about that, but you could have done more to have her be the facebreaker, to have her be a badass, to have build her up to face Ronda Rousey. And I'm sorry, the in-ring interview segments, while Alexa looks super pretty, did nothing to help anybody with that. It was just like, yeah, okay, all right. I would have rather seen Nia out there busting faces than talking on a mic. Because I feel like her knocking someone out with her fist, whether it's, you know, with it being completely worked, is way more effective than her saying, I'm going to beat you up.
And making a very loud scream into a microphone.
Please never let her do that ever again. Please don't make her do that ever again, I should say. That's the better phrase. But yeah, this...
Just pick, make your pick.
It's going to be Ronda. It's going to be Ronda, but it's like to make Nia viable again, she really does have to win, but it's going to be Ronda.
8-ball, does Nia Jax face break Ronda Rousey and take her championship? No. Outlook, not so good. Next matchup.
Up next, we have the Intercontinental Championship on the line in what really should have been the ladder match, but isn't the ladder match. I thought this was a TLC match.
Nope.
Oh, then why isn't it a ladder match? Seth Rollins taking on Dean Ambrose. We've seen this before. We've seen this 100 times. We'll see it 100 more times. This should be good. It should be fun. They should beat the crap out of each other.
But they dropped the ball with this feud for the last 3 weeks. They've done nothing to progress it. They had a hot start with no finish. They've tried to make Dean Ambrose into something, and it's not really working.
I feel like they're trying to make Dean Ambrose into something that he's really not comfortable being, and he's doing his best with it.
But if you look back for the last 3 weeks of Raw, nothing in this feud has progressed. Nothing. Now you have a match. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. My pick's Dean to get the belt. Get the belt off of Seth Rollins. Put him into a new focus as the guy on Monday Night Raw. What do you think?
I feel like... I don't know. On one hand, I feel like you need to have Dean win simply because it's... You're trying to get him over as a bad guy. There needs to be some vindication, but the proper story to tell is that Seth needs to win. Because you're trying to establish that number one good guy on Monday Night Raw. You're going to have it be Seth Rollins because you don't have anybody else at this point. So you really need to set him up for success, and a victory over Dean Ambrose is going to do that for him. But honestly, I feel like if you have either one lose or either one win, it doesn't do anything for anybody.
No.
Like, it just, this match feels like such an afterthought at this point because the feud is an afterthought.
But feud doesn't need the belt. Feud's about not really about the belt, but the belt's on the line. If the plan is to move Seth Rollins onto someone more beastly, you gotta get the belt off of Seth. That's why I'm going Dean. That's why I'm going Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, I can see that, and I get that, but to me, I don't know. Like, I've had such a hard time with a lot of the Raw matches, because it just doesn't feel like the feud's gone anywhere.
It hasn't. It hasn't.
And it's just so difficult to say, because it's like, you want Seth to win, because Seth is the good guy, but it's like, Dean needs it more.
He does.
He really needs it more to get him over as a good, as like the top bad guy. Whether he wins it by hook or by crook, I mean, he really needs to win, and he really needs to take that Intercontinental title off of Seth. I mean, he truly does, because it would do wonders for him. But I just...
Make the pick. Make it.
Dean. It's gonna be Dean. I mean, I love Seth, but it's like, if Seth wins, Dean loses, and then Dean's dead in the water. And what do you do with him then?
Brent, there's a logical answer. Royal Rumble. Anyway,
yeah, I mean, you could have Seth win the Royal Rumble and he challenges Lesnar.
There you go.
That's how that goes.
That's logic, simple booking. 8-ball, will Dean Ambrose become the new Intercontinental Champion? No, Seth Rollins is retaining. Next.
Up next, we have Daniel Bryan taking on AJ Styles for the WWE Championship. It's going to be Brian. Brian just won. You can't have AJ get the title back that fast.
Again, establishing people in their new direction. Brian as champion is the new direction. Brian's going to keep his belt. It's going to be a fantastic match.
This is going to be great. I mean, this is going to be absolutely wonderful. Brian has been doing magical things. I wish he would take a shower and wash his hair, but, you know, that doesn't affect his quality of performance at all.
No. So, 8-Ball, will Daniel Bryan retain the WWE Championship? It is certain. And finally?
Ash, to answer your question, it's never logical, but I don't have anything else at this point. It's the only thing that, you know, is going for me right now.
Final match on this show.
In a tables, ladders, and chairs match, depending on if it actually happens, you have Braun Strowman taking on Baron Corbin.
If Braun Strowman wins, Baron Corbin is no longer a general manager, and Strowman gets his title match at the Royal Rumble against Brock Lesnar. If Baron Corbin wins, he becomes the full-time Raw general manager. Let's God hope, for the love of God. Braun Strowman walks right in there, punches Baron Corbin straight out. 1, 2, 3, becomes the new number one contender, and no more Baron Corbin. Can we all agree? Can we all agree?
I'm, like, so conflicted on this, because it's, like, it's the best thing for Baron Corbin that has happened in a while. Like, he's finally in a good role that utilizes his natural skill as an asshole to really get him over. And so it's really difficult to say, no, I don't want him as a GM, because it's like, it's really a good role for him. It's a good spot for him. But at the same time, oh my God, how many times does he have to be out there? Like, I feel like you could have him be the GM and, like, tone his role back just a little bit, just a smidge. And it would be fine. But here's my question. If Strowman wins, or Strowman doesn't show up, so let's say he's hurt. Let's say he's still recovering from his surgery.
Okay.
At this point, he is.
He will be, yes.
Who do you have challenge Brock at Rumble?
At a Rumble? What about Sunday, if Braun can't compete?
Well, if Braun can't compete, then Corbin becomes the full-time Raw GM.
Or does somebody show up?
He's never coming back. He's never coming back. No. That would be really cool, because honestly, they practice that at a house show, and I will lose my shit if that happens. Like, you will legit, we may have to get on the air for that. But, like, I'm not going to count on it at this point. My house is going to be done and finished and repaired before Bray Wyatt shows back up on TV. And by the way, construction has not even started at my house yet. So that tells you how long this is going to take. Like, he's never coming back. Ever.
So, yeah. Anyway, I'm picking Braun Strowman. Who fights in Rumble? Drew McIntyre? I don't know. You can find someone. Braun's going to be there anyhow. It doesn't matter. Braun's going to be the guy. And Braun's going to... You can throw Finn in there. You can throw any Lashley. It doesn't matter who you put into Brock. Brock's going to retain the title. So no matter who you're feeding another guy to Brock, no matter what you do, including Braun Strowman.
I was going to say, I wouldn't use McIntyre then. But yeah, I mean, I'll go with Braun, or the Braun equivalent, whatever, whoever it is.
So Sunday 8-Ball, does Baron Corbin get these hands? No. There you go. That's Pick 'Em. Media, wildtalkradio.com, facebook.com/groups/wildtalkradio network. Tweet them at Wild Talk Radio.
Alrighty. Well, that's TLC. I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Alrighty. So stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, we will be back with Fortnite with friends and everybody. Don't forget, we said it at the top of the show, but we'll say it again. Next week will be pre-recorded because I am going out of town for Christmas. Week after that is Ask the Rack for Pop Goes the Rack. So please remember to submit your questions for that show. You can submit as many as you want for whatever topic you would like. Just remember, if you put in either a smart ass or a dumbass question, you will get either a smart ass or dumbass question or dumbass answer in response. So please bear that in mind.
At twitter.com/wildtalkradio or at Rock Radio Show, media wildtalkradio.com if you would like to email your questions in. Which means plug Saturday night midnight-ish. It's another edition of Cibarrillo, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. GreaterGreatDebate.com, CibarrilloLive.com. Once tables, ladders, and chairs end, Russell Talk Radio will be live to talk all about it. Monday night, we'll be back for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. And as she mentioned, we'll be have the Jingle All the Rock special for you Thursday afternoon right here, wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com. Make sure you follow and subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. It is Rock Radio Show on the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram. It is the Rock Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and the TuneIn Radio app as well. Go.
All right, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, Fightboot.com, and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward, and you have been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back in just a few minutes with Fortnite with Friends. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.